22, and we are back in our series tonight, Family Matters. And I want to encourage you not just to be here each Wednesday, but bring somebody with you. The stuff that we're going to be going over, it is for everyone. And what we're going to be looking at for the next, really tonight, and then the next 3 or 4 weeks beyond tonight, will be principles on parenting. Now, not everybody in here tonight has children that still live at home or have children in that capacity. But the reality is, all of us know people with children. Maybe we have children with children. You know what? Somebody needs to be able to be a help, to be able to be a point of biblical reference, of biblical counsel. We need to be prepared to help those around us. And so we're going to dive into the Word of God, and this is going to be my prayer, is that it's going to be very, very practical for us. Things that we can take and that we can implement into our minds and into our families and into our lives really right away. Proverbs chapter 22 is where we're going to be really for the next month or so. And we're probably not going to get beyond the first word, okay? But don't worry, we'll cover it over a month. We won't do it all at once. But let's read verse number 6 in unison, could we? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we love you. And again tonight, we just thank you and praise you for how good you've been. Lord, truly, we could be here for hours, days, weeks, and months just recounting the blessings of our great God. Father, I pray that your goodness would be something that just colors the way that we experience and process and look at life. Help us to appreciate what a good God you are, full of grace, whose mercies are new each morning. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we come to your word. I ask that you'd help it to, Father, take root in our hearts. Father, that our families might be strengthened because we desire to do family your way. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, while I was on my trip, I overheard a couple of people talking. And they were talking about family. Specifically, they were talking about parenting. And one of them made this comment to the other. I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to make it up as we go along. Now, all of us have felt that way at one time or another. But the reality is that far too many people, including far too many Christians, actually live that way. They make it up as they go along. And we can't afford to live that way because family matters too much. And every relationship, every family, every relationship within the family, every child. Now, we understand this, okay? We understand that every family, every relationship, and every child is different, right? We understand that. And so, in no way are we trying to make grandiose blanket statements. We understand that there are differences, and there are different things about relationships, families, and children. But what we have to come to understand is this, is that the principles and precepts of God are eternal and universal. Meaning, your child might be different from my child, but God's way still works. Your spouse is different than my spouse, but God's way still works. That the principles of God's Word are not only eternal, but they are universal. And God has given us too much for us to make it up as we go along. Can we agree on that tonight?
Yeah.
Now, for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at this verse, probably the most famous parenting principle in Scripture. And I call it that on purpose. I believe that what we see in Proverbs 22:6 is a principle or a proverb. It is a general statement about life. I do not believe that what we see in Proverbs 22:6 is a promise. Simply for this reason, every one of us have a free will. Every one of us do. And so at the end of the day, even people who come from the best of situations can still decide to turn and shake their fist at God. Now, we pray that they don't. And the principle is that when we train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he is old, he will not turn from it. But I do want us to understand that because there are a lot of people out there who beat themselves up over things because we cannot control another person, because we want it more than they do. We cannot feel guilty about things we have no control over. Now, that being said, we are going to talk about the things we do have control over, because that's what we have to make sure that we have ownership of in our lives. And tonight we're going to start with this concept as we discuss the idea of training up a child. We're going to start with the idea of authority. Now, our culture doesn't like authority. It doesn't. We don't like to be under it. And we really don't like to be it either. Our culture doesn't like authority. And one of the places that this is really most clearly seen is our discomfort with authority in the home. Now, we know that mom and dad are in charge. But let me ask you, why are mom and dad in charge? Where does that authority really come from? Is it because we're just bigger than them? Is it because we're smarter than them? Is it because we're stronger than they are? Is it because we're more mature or more spiritual than they are? Is the authority that we have as parents, is it absolute? Or is it relative? Are we able to tell those kids to do anything we want because, what's the famous line? I said so. Hate it as a kid, love it as a parent. Are we allowed? Is that within the scope of our authority? There's a lot of questions when it comes to what is authority. Where does it come from? What's the scope of it? What's the nature of it? And the reality is when it comes to the authority in the home, we have got to have clarity and commitment here. Because without it, our children will suffer not learning the absolute principles of God's Word. And so tonight we're going to start right here with training up a child, understanding authority. Roman numeral 1 tonight, just 2 points. Roman numeral 1 is the necessity of authority. The necessity of authority. Why do we need authority? Well, you know, if you go to the secular psychologist, I hope we don't have any here tonight because you will leave horribly offended. But you look at secular philosophy and you're going to come away with one of two notions. One of which is that children are born good. That children are born good. Those little babies, they don't just come out innocent, they come out good. And that their nature is just as pure and wonderful and good. You might even liken it, they would give the illustration of a hot air balloon. Just leave it alone, and that little one will rise to the top. She will soar into the sky. Just make sure you're not a nasty sandbag waiting it down. And so the secular psychology or philosophy is that children are born good. Now, some have actually opened their eyes and ears and looked at children, and they know that's not the case. They can't justify that. And so they'll come at it a little bit differently. They'll say, no, children aren't necessarily born good. They're born neutral. They're like a blank slate. Meaning they are completely at the will and whim of the influences that are around it. An illustration they might give, it's like a particle of dust in the air. And if you blow it that way, it'll go this way. But if you blow this way, it'll go this way. And so that poor child that's born on that the side of Chicago with all those gangs and with all those violences, well, all of those negative influences are just going to imprint on that child. And that poor child, Johnny, doesn't have a chance. Because you see, Johnny, he may have been born neutral, but all those negative influences, he's going to grow up to be an awful, violent person. But you know, somebody else that was born into a good home with wealth and with opportunity and with education, well, they have all these good influences. Children are not born good. You know, we can also say that children are not born a blank slate. They're not born neutral. Why do we need authority? Well, you know, if you go to secular psychology or philosophy, they would tell you you really don't. You just need to kind of stay out of the way. Make sure that you provide a nurturing environment and just let your little one blossom on their own. But you know, the Bible or the scriptural foundation is very different than a secular psychology. The Bible teaches us this, simply, children are born sinners by nature. Job put it this way, Job 14 in verse number 4. He said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." You know why Johnny's a sinner? Because his daddy's a sinner. And his mommy's a sinner. You know why Johnny's daddy's a sinner? Because his daddy's a sinner. And we can trace it all the way back to when Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God. The Bible even puts it, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin," that's Adam, "so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So in Adam we all sinned. You know, David put it this way, Psalm 51 in verse number 5. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Not that his mother was an adulteress, but that his mother and his father were sinners. And so David received that sin nature that his mother and his father had. You know, psychology and modern philosophy might tell you that children are good, or at worst, they're neutral. But the Bible teaches us this, that children are sinners before God. That they're sinners. That they are wicked little rebels before Almighty God. And if we would take a step back, if we struggle with that at all, I invite you, take 5 minutes and go to the nursery. See how that goes. Go watch how some of the little bit older wicked rebels behave during game time tonight. Yeah. If you need further proof, just look at the man standing up here. My mama's a saint. We still don't know what happened here, okay? My mama's a saint. But the reality is this, ladies and gentlemen, children are born sinners. All born from Adam's race are born sinners separated by God. You know what the Bible kind of describes us as? Left to ourselves, we are not a hot air balloon that will rise to the heights. Left to ourselves, we are not a dust particle that would be carried about by the winds and blown to and fro, subject to the nurture that we are put in contact to. No, left to ourselves, we are anchors that will plunge to the bottom of a lake of fire. Children must be trained. Proverbs 29 and verse number 15 puts it this way. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame." Children must be trained. And training, by its very nature, training demands a position of authority. Training demands that one person or one thing puts itself under, recognizes the authority of another in order to be trained. Now, God has given the responsibility of training a child to his parents. It's a verse that we're all familiar with, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. God put it this way, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so God has given the responsibility of training a child to his parents. And here's what we have to understand. The wicked little rebel needs somebody. Needs some bodies who God has placed in their life to take a position of authority in order to train them right. It might be cute when Junior swats at you when he's three, but it ain't gonna be cute when Junior's swatting when he's 13. And the same heart that caused him to swat when he was three will be the exact same heart that causes him to swat when he's 13 if it's not dealt with. You are your child's authority. You're not an advisor. Mom and Dad, you are not your child's advisor. You are their authority. You're not a friend. I know we all want to be friends. But you know, you are never called in the Bible to be your child's friend. You're called to be your child's authority. His authority. Her authority. The necessity of authority. The reality is, without somebody in their life, their prospects are bleak. So we see the necessity of authority. Now, because parental authority is a necessity, we must understand its nature. And so Roman numeral 2, I want us to understand this tonight. The nature of authority. Now, what do we mean when we say that you, mom and dad, are the child's authority? What do we mean? Here's what we mean. We mean, number one, that you are an agent of God. You are God's agent. You see, God is the one who invested parents with authority over children. You are God's primary agent in the life of your child. So God, who has all authority, amen, has in his authority invested mom and dad as the immediate or as the primary authority in the life of the child. So, you are God's agent. So what does that mean? It means that you're in charge not because you're older, not because you're stronger, not because you're smarter, not because you're more spiritual. It's about God-given structure. That's why we see verses like Genesis 18 and verse 19 as God talked about Abraham. And God made this comment or this observation about Abraham. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And so God recognized that Abraham was going to be an authority in the life of his family in order that they would do what? That they would keep the way of the Lord. You see, Abraham was God's agent that his family might follow the Lord. You look at passages like Deuteronomy chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the way, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. What are those things that we're going to talk about and that we're going to write and we're going to discuss? They are what? They are the principles and the ways and the precepts and the law of who? Of the Lord. Of the Lord. It's about God-given structure. That mom and dad be the principal authority in the life of a child. If it were just about the fact that you were older, if it were just about the fact that you were smarter, if it were just about the fact that you were stronger, then let me ask, what in the world was Jesus doing in Luke chapter 2? You look at the childhood of Jesus, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 51, and what do we see? The Bible says, and he went down with them, that's Jesus, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now let me ask you, was the eternal Son of God older than Mary and Joseph? Yes. Was the eternal Son of God wiser than Mary and Joseph? Yes. Was the eternal Son of God stronger than Mary and Joseph? Was the eternal Son of God more spiritual than Mary and Joseph? Yes, and yet he was subject unto them. Why? Because that is the God-given structure that God has put into place. And so the Son of God provides a beautiful example. It's not about the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience. It's about that God has set this up in God's wisdom and in God's will for a purpose. And mom and dad, what we have to understand is this. When they lock horns with us, it's not just us. Because we are God's agent in their life. And so when they lock horns with us, they lock horns with God. You look at verses where God talks about authority. For instance, Romans chapter 13, it speaks primarily about the government. That is the immediate context of Romans chapter 13. But look what the Apostle Paul says about authority. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. You know, teenagers would say, well, you don't know my mom and dad. No, but I know the God who gave you your mom and dad. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse number 2, whosoever resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. When we resist authority, we resist God. And so, mom and dad, this is more important than whether or not... This is more important than whether or not Junior did this or that or whether he... Understand, it's not about you and Junior. It's about Junior and God. Because you are simply God's agent in Junior's life. When you understand this, you are the agent of God. So we see a divine delegation with a distinct direction. Mom and Dad, get this. Not only has God delegated us that authority, not only are we His agent, but as His agent, we must take on His agenda. Do we understand that? It's not about what I want for Junior. It's about what God has. I'm not here for Junior to meet my needs, and I'm not here to parent by convenience. We have to parent by conviction. Because as the authority, we are the agent, and as the agent, we have to work out His agenda. Parenting is not about us. It's about God. We have to let that sink in. It's not about whether or not my son or daughter inconveniences me. It's not about whether my son... It is about, ultimately, my son or daughter's relationship with Almighty God. Now we're going to, in weeks to come, like next week, we're going to talk about training goals. Because when we train, we ought to have goals, amen? We ought to. But understand, when we work to set these goals, we have to understand what it's all about. We're just the agent. We've gotten the authority, but we've also gotten the agenda. And so we cannot use our authority as a matter of convenience. We have to use it as a matter of conviction to work out the agenda that God has given us. You are an agent for Almighty God. So the nature of authority is that you are an agent of God. But let me dive a little more into this. Not only are you an agent of God, but you are accountable to God. You see, we love and sometimes we get blinded by the fact that our kids are accountable to us. And they are, as God has invested that authority. But you see, in a certain sense, you and I and our kids, we're all in the same boat because we are all under God's authority. We're all under God's authority. Now, you cannot delegate what God has decreed. Meaning this, you, mom and dad, are the principal agent that God has placed in your child's life. And you cannot delegate it because parenting is hard. Because parenting is hard, I'm going to shift over here and let somebody else do the disciplining. Or I'm going to shift over here and blame somebody else for a failure academically. Or I'm going to shift over here and blame this group over here for a failure spiritually. We've talked about this before. We live in the age of delegated responsibility. Meaning, you ask most people, whose job is it to make sure my kid is healthy? Most people would say it's the doctor's job. Never mind you only feed them chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. It's the doctor's job to make them all better. Whose job is it to make sure they're smart? Well, it's the school's job. Whose job is it to make sure they're spiritual? Well, most people would say the church. What does the Bible say? The Bible teaches that it is your job. It's my job as a parent. That I'm going to answer for Christopher, for Emma, for Madeline, and you're going to answer for your children. You will. You will. And you cannot delegate, you cannot defer what God has decreed. You cannot give in. I know those little rebels can sometimes be hard-hearted. There are sometimes, I used to say this, when I had been a parent for about 6 months, 9 months, I made the comment, I don't know why my dad used to say spanking me hurt him more than it hurt me. He must not have been doing it right then. I'd been a parent for about 6 months at that point. I can't tell you how many times my heart has broken because their will not bow. And sometimes they clench those little fists. And sometimes their heart is just as steadfast as it can be. And you know what? After 10 minutes, after 15 minutes, after 20 minutes, sometimes I just want to give up. I just want to go lay down and cry myself a little bit. Because it hurts me. But you can't give up. Because you're going to stand before God. And you're not going to be able to say, well, you knew how hard my kid was. You knew how stubborn they could be. You knew what a smart mouth she could have or he could have. No. No, 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 no. You're going to give an account. And so you can't give up. And you can't give in because you, as God's agent, are accountable to God. Our authority comes by God. And we need to know this. Now, our kids need to know this. That our authority comes by God. That we might direct them back to God and to develop them for God. You know that very next verse in the book of Luke, chapter number 2 and verse number 51, it mentions this about Jesus. 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You know, we have a huge responsibility. And we'll talk about training goals next week. But our kids need to understand that when we have them do things, whether it's for spiritual or whether it's for social development or whether it's for just family responsibility, whether it's academic development, whatever it is, we need them to know that, son, I'm not just having you cut the grass because your dad's a lazy bum. We need them to know you can't talk to your mama that way because I had a bad day at work and so I'm grumpy. You can talk to your mom that way when I'm not grumpy. We'll talk about consistency another Wednesday night. But not while I'm grumpy. No, they need to know that we do what we do, and then we discipline the way we discipline. And by the way, our discipline ought to be discipleship. That's what it is. Discipline ought to be discipleship. Because we're not so much trying to beat it out of them as we're trying to lead them to Him. And they need to know that just like they are in authority to us, we are under authority of us. We are under the authority of God. And it is all about Him. That we do this because God loves us and because God has given us His Word and because God has given us this structure. And it's not about my convenience. I'm going to tell you, by the way, that's why anger has no place. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. And the wrath of man, the Bible says, worketh not the righteousness of God. And our kids need to know that our authority, it comes from God. And that they will answer to God and that we will answer to God. And in that we begin to cultivate. We begin to cultivate an awareness of what authority really is and how we really ought to respond to it biblically. That authority is not about force. It's not about servitude. Authority is about willingly placing ourselves under the structure that God has provided. And that's where we get to. They recognize that God has put mom and dad there. And they will answer to God for how they interacted with mom and dad. And that young person then makes the decision to willingly place themselves under mom and dad. Not because it always makes sense. And not because mom and dad always gives them their way. But because that is who God has given them. And in their response to God, they respond to mom and dad. And by the way, if they learn to willingly place themselves under you, they're not going to have any trouble at school. Because they'll recognize, well, that's my authority there. And place themselves under there. Or one day when they get a job, they're not going to have any trouble when the boss says, I want you to go take out the trash. Because they'll recognize that we ought to serve those masters that God has given us as to the Lord. And so that's my authority. I'm going to willingly place myself. Or that policeman. Or that government official. Or most importantly, God. God Himself. When God Himself speaks to them through His Word. When God speaks through His Spirit. You know what? If they have learned to willingly submit themselves to authority, then when God speaks and they recognize the ultimate authority, they will submit themselves to Him. So here we go, kind of wrapping up. When we talk about parenting, we have to start with authority. Who has it, where it comes from, and why it's there. Now, until you understand that you are an agent of God, you will never train the way God intended. So often we talk about this combat with our kids. Why is there combat? Why is there combat? There ought not be combat. Because we don't operate on the same plane. I am God's agent in their lives. I am God's authority in their lives. And there is zero reason that we ought to engage in rebellion on that level. We ought to deal with rebellion, but not engage with it on that level. Until you understand that you are an agent of God, you will never train the way God intended. And until Johnny learns to willingly place himself under you as God's agent, Johnny will never learn to place himself under God. Parents, you are God's primary agent of authority in the life of your child. It is not a battle of wills. It is not, if you look at it like a battle, you will always struggle. You know why it's not a battle of wills? Because God's Word and God's will is already settled. And it doesn't matter how strong-willed of a child we might have, God's will is more settled and God's will is more sure than any will that our child might bring to the table. And what we have to do is we have to start by having less fear of our kids and more fear of God. Because when we understand our agency and our accountability, we can begin to embrace the role of the authority that God has intended us to be. So next week we start talking about training goals. But it starts with this. God has placed you there. If God has placed you, God will give you everything you need to be the parents you ought to be. And we have to recognize and embrace what God has ordained. Could we stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? And I want to give us a moment or two, if we could, just to think, just to consider, just to pray. Seek the Lord on this aspect of training a child and recognizing the authority that God has invested in us. You know what? This is not a politically correct message that I preach tonight. It's not. You turn on any TV show and the parents are just the dumb bungalows who are in the way. They mess everything up. If they just say, but we've got to embrace what the Bible says. We've got to live what the Bible says. And tonight, some of us need to regain that position of authority. We need to resubmit to God is what we need to do. Resubmit to our authority to be the authority that God has ordained us to be. Father, we love you. And tonight I pray as we have this time of invitation that you would work. Father, strengthen our parents. Strengthen our grandparents. This thing of parenting is not for the faint of heart. But Father, failure is not an option. Help us, Lord, to embrace what you've called us to train up a child in the way he should go, and trust you for the results. Father, may we respond to you in this time as you have spoken to us. Have your will, have your way, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed.